The first ever open season for military TRICARE beneficiaries starts on Monday. Some advocacy groups fear the options might pigeonhole users into one treatment facility. Federal News Network's Scott Massioni spoke with Government Relations Deputy Director for the National Military Family Association, Karen Rudicelli, about some of those concerns.
Once a year, families are going to have to choose between either TRICARE Prime, which is our HMO-like option, or TRICARE Select, which is run more like a PPO. I can't say I really see any benefit to families for doing this. We don't necessarily, our association doesn't necessarily have any sort of issues with the concept of an open enrollment period. We understand it's a commonplace policy with commercial plans, and we appreciate the goal of aligning TRICARE with commercial practices. But I wouldn't say that there's really any necessarily any benefit to families for doing this. I think it provides some benefits to the Department of Defense.
And do you happen to know what those benefits might be for DOD?
I think it allows them to quantify exactly how many people are opting for Prime versus Select. So before, unless somebody, when we had TRICARE Standard, which has been rebranded as TRICARE Select, people were eligible, but they didn't necessarily have to enroll, and some people used it and some people didn't. And I think it was difficult for DOD to track exactly how many people they were on the hook for in terms of providing TRICARE Standard.
So you have some concerns about the military treatment facilities. And before we go into that, I was just wondering for the listeners, if you wouldn't mind explaining what a military treatment facility is versus just a regular, going to a doctor or provider.
The military health system has some unique aspects, including what they call the direct care system. And that is a system of military hospitals and clinics that are run by the military services. It's very, very unique to the military, and their goal is to maintain the readiness of military members so they're ready to deploy, and it's also to train uniformed military medical personnel. And kind of as an aside, family members are treated within that direct care system. They get their medical care within that system sometimes, and that provides clinical material for the medical personnel training.
These are usually located on a base or in an area where that's heavily populated by people in the military. Your concern is that people may be kind of pigeonholed into one MTF. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. With the annual open enrollment requirement, we believe that DOD isn't taking into account this unique aspect of the military health system, these military hospitals and clinics. So let me give you an example. Let's say we have an Army family stationed at Fort Campbell, and they select the TRICARE Prime option. What they're really selecting is to be enrolled at the Army hospital that's on Fort Campbell, and that's where they're going to get most of their care. Most people are satisfied with the care that they get at military hospitals and clinics, but, in a huge medical system such as the one that's run by DOD, it's inevitable that some people are going to run into problems within that system. So before the open enrollment requirement, if a family encountered a problem with the Fort Campbell Hospital, let's say they couldn't get timely appointments or they were dissatisfied with the care they were getting there, that family always had the option of switching to Select, and then that way they could get their care in the civilian community. Select provided sort of an escape hatch from the military hospital if you felt you needed it. Now that escape hatch is going away. If a Fort Campbell family chooses Prime during the open enrollment period and they encounter a problem at the Army Hospital at Campbell, they'll no longer have the option of switching to Select to seek care elsewhere. They're going to be locked into the single Army medical facility that serves Fort Campbell. And, we think that's a situation that's very unlike anything that we're aware of in the commercial sector. Although commercial plans require annual enrollment, we can't think of a single commercial plan that locks patients into one medical facility. We had one spouse who reported her story. She had a son who had a collapsing trachea. It had been discovered before he was a year old, and after he was diagnosed, they PCS'd or moved to a new installation. When he was 3 years old, one of the symptoms of this collapsing trachea returned. It's called stridor. It's a high-pitched breathing sound. She took him to the MTF at their new installation, and they diagnosed it as hiccups, and they wouldn't take her seriously when she said, no, he's been diagnosed with this collapsing trachea. This could be something serious. So she left the appointment quite upset and immediately switched her son from prime to standard. It was standard back then. And within 24 hours, she had a civilian specialist waiting for her in the lobby to do a scope on her son because they understood the critical nature of this potential diagnosis that he had. And sort of situation. I'm not sure there's a problem resolution process that exists within, you know, military hospitals and clinics that would address a situation like that in a timely manner.
What have you been hearing from DOD as far as your concerns? Have they been hearing you out? Are they looking into anything to try and give you a better idea of, you know, what might be able to happen for these people?
Yeah, we have been having a dialogue with DOD. They've acknowledged our concerns, and they've told us, you know, they are definitely interested in learning about problems that families face at military hospitals and clinics so that those issues can get fixed. The problem is that there's really no consistent or reliable way to surface all these stories, you know, in real time as they're happening. A lot of times families, they don't know where to go for help within the system, and it varies across the system. We hear a lot about a lot of these issues when spouses reach out for advice on Facebook pages that are, you know, military spouse membership pages. While they are sincere, I think, in their desire to try to fix problems within the MTFs, I don't think that that process exists today. And some of the problems that families face, I just don't think can be addressed in a timely manner. The problems that families encounter can be administrative in nature. They can deal with access issues. They can be clinical issues. And I'm not sure how you could set up a problem resolution system that could address that wide variety of problems in a way that would be satisfactory to families and that would meet the needs of DOD. You know, our association really believes that, you know, allowing people to leave military hospitals and clinics if they become dissatisfied provides a real measure of accountability for the military health system. We think that they should, you know, have a qualifying life event that allows people to change from prime to select if they encounter problems within their military hospital or clinic. And those numbers should be tracked, and somebody at you know, the Defense Health Agency or in the services should be digging into the reasons why families are leaving military hospitals and clinics. That's what makes more sense to us.
Great. Well, I think you've answered everything that I was going to ask. Is there anything I may have skipped over, anything that you wanted to say that you didn't get a chance to say?
Karen Rudicelli is Government Relations Deputy Director for the National Military Family Association, speaking with Federal News Network's Scott Mossione. Be sure to check out Scott's story at federalnewsnetwork.com.